Our scripture this morning comes from the 14th chapter of Exodus. The Israelites fled Egypt, led by Moses, and were pursued by Pharaoh. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses,
"Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness."
But Moses said to the people,
"Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still."
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down on the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said,
"Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt."
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers."
So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left.
Funny story. Technology has not been my friend lately. You'll look in the bulletin and you'll see that the title of the sermon is "Keep Still and Go Forward Again." I saw it on Facebook when Dan posted it and I thought, where did the "again" come from? It was "Keep Still and Go Forward." You're going to love this, Deb. Keep still and go forward. And so when I got here this morning, I looked and sure enough in the bulletin it said, "Keep still and go forward again." So I pulled up the email I sent to Deb, and I was like, where in the world did this "again" come from? Well, I got my sermon title to Deb a little late this week, and so I was apologizing to her, but my spacing was off. It says, "Keep still and go forward again, Deb. I'm sorry that I..." Tell you how bad I've been with technology. Poor Deb was worried she did something wrong. No, it was me. As you know, last weekend I drove to Illinois to attend Deb's mom's memorial service. I left Saturday morning and the weather was going great for driving. As I sat in my driveway, I put the address of the funeral home in Canton, Illinois in Google Maps and hit start. Those of you that have it, I have Bluetooth in my car, so the nice lady on Google Maps just tells me when I need to do whatever. I knew that I needed to head down 35, right, to get out of Minnesota, so I really did not look at my route too closely. Once I got into Iowa, I realized that I needed to turn off at 35 at some point. But I wasn't too worried because I knew that the nice woman on Google Maps will tell me when it's time to turn. And she did. She had me turn off 35 around Mason City. As I drove, I thought, well, I better check to make sure what my next turn will be or exit. I stopped, looked at my phone, and to my surprise, I did not have any data connection, which means I no longer had Google Maps. All I knew was I was supposed to stay on this highway for some determined amount of miles, and then I was supposed to get on another highway, and then another highway, and another highway. I had not looked at the whole route to know highway numbers or cities to watch for, nothing. I panicked just a little bit, you can ask Brian about that later, and called Brian back in Minneapolis and asked him to pull up Google Maps. I gave him the address of the funeral home, told him where I thought I was. He very graciously did that and told me how much longer I had on that particular highway and what landmarks to look for and which highway I needed to get onto next. I was very relieved, and I told him thanks and began back on my journey. About 3 minutes after we hung up, I looked at my phone to see if Google Maps had appeared again, and I had no service at all. No data, no cell, no nothing. If I had waited a few minutes more to check where I was, I would not have been able to call Brian at all. All of a sudden, I felt vulnerable and not very safe. Now, let me remind you, it is daytime, the weather is great, and there are exits that I could take to ask for directions, or to get food, or to get gas. In other words, I was not lost in the wilderness or anything, and I got where I was supposed to be with time to spare. After the wonderful service, and it was so lovely, we all went to eat at the Disciples of Christ Church in Cuba, Illinois. Deb says it's 8 miles away. Google Maps says it's 12 miles away. I put the church in Google Maps and got there without a problem. As I parked the car, I grabbed my phone and looked down, and you guessed it, no service at all. AT&T, in case you're wondering. Can't have Google Maps tell me how to get out of Cuba, Illinois, in the right direction toward home. I can't even call Brian and ask him to pull up Google Maps and give me turn-by-turn directions. The meal was wonderful, ate way too much at lunch, got to meet more of Deb's lovely family, and then it was time to go. My plan was to drive halfway back and finish the drive on Sunday. I went to Deb, told her what a lovely service, how great the meal was, and then I said, by the way, Deb, I don't have Google Maps, I don't have any service, and I don't know how to get out of here. I don't know how to get back on a road I need to be on to get back to Minneapolis. So Deb, in her wisdom, says, you take Main Street until it dead ends and turn right, and then you follow the signs for 91 or 97? For 97. She also warned me that there would be some jogs in the road, so to watch very carefully for the signs. I did exactly as she said, and she was right. And then I got just a little bit of phone service and called Brian and asked him to double check that I really was going the right way because I still could not pull up Google Maps. Of course, I wasn't sure how to tell him where I was except to say, I'm in the middle of a cornfield. I wasn't really in the middle of a cornfield. But on either side of the road, for as far as I could see, there were rows and rows and rows and rows of corn taller than the car. I'm not exaggerating, am I, Deb? Okay. I've shared that I'm claustrophobic with you before, and not knowing really where I was, not knowing if I should continue on the road I was on, not being able to see anything but corn, knowing that when I hung up from Brian, I may not have any service again, having flashes of the movie Children of the Corn come to my mind made me extremely vulnerable. It was as if I had driven into a middle of a cornfield and the rows of corn parted to let me and all the other cars around me through. I didn't know whether to continue or stop, and I sure didn't trust the phone to get me where I needed to go, and I really didn't trust that I had accurately told Brian where I was. Oh, yeah, honey, I'm in the middle of a cornfield. Can you find me? Well, without being able to see the end of the road and not being able to see anything but corn is a little scary. It made me wonder about what it must have felt like to be running from Pharaoh and his army, and Moses telling us to walk between the parted waters. Now, rows of corn were not going to come tumbling out and kill me unless the children of the corn came out. But parted waters, If they don't hold, they will kill us. Driving among the cornfields is not as scary as walking and having the waters part on either side and Moses telling you to walk on the dry land. That would be scary. Now, the Israelites are glad to be rid of Pharaoh, and one would think he would be glad to be rid of the Israelites. Life under the rule of Pharaoh was very cruel and hard for the Israelites. They were slaves who worked and worked and worked. They had cried out to God, and God heard their cries. God then called to Moses and said he would be the one to free God's people. Moses had the lovely task of going to Pharaoh and asking for his people to be set free. Oh, and Mr. Pharaoh, if you don't set them free, there's going to be some plagues that are going to come upon you in Egypt. Pharaoh, of course, did not let the people go, and here came the plagues. Water turned to blood. Pharaoh still wouldn't let the people go. A plague of frogs. Ask Oklahoma University about a plague of frogs. Still wouldn't budge. So plagues continued. Gnats, flies, plagues on livestock, the plague of boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn child of Egypt, children of Egypt. This plague that we know passed over the firstborn of the Israelite children. Pharaoh finally agrees to let them go, and Moses leads them out to, well, who knows where. God hasn't really said where they're going. I at least had an address. After all of the cruelty of life under the Pharaoh and all of the plagues and children dying, the people are just glad to be free. And like Google Maps will do sometimes, God led them on a roundabout way out in the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Sort of go until the road stops and turn right. Of course, they had a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day to lead them, but they had no idea where they were going. After the Israelites had left, Pharaoh thought, hey, wait a minute. We just let all of our workforce leave. We can't do that. So Pharaoh and his army went after the Israelites to bring them back home. Now think about this. We're wandering, not sure where we're going. We're free. That makes us happy. And Moses seems like a decent enough person. We don't really know him that well. He at least has God leading us somewhere. And then we hear the rumble of chariots and the beating of the hooves of horses behind us. When we turn, there is the whole Egyptian army coming after us. This is the largest power on the face of the earth at this time, and it is coming for us. I was upset because I didn't have a map working on my phone, right? The people know that when the army gets to them, they will either be killed or taken back and treated even more poorly because they left in the first place. And they cry out to Moses, as we heard earlier, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? We tried to tell you when we were in Egypt to leave us alone. At least we know this evil. It would be much better to be slaves than to die out here in the wilderness. And Moses tells the people to stand firm and God will deliver us. Stay right where you are and watch. God will fight the Egyptian army for us. You only have to keep still. Yeah, sure, Moses. The most powerful army in the world is bearing down on us and you want us to keep still. So there they stand, firm, keeping still. And God says, Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. It's sort of like the nice woman on Google Maps telling me to turn left, and Brian is on the phone telling me to go straight. Keep still or go forward. Well, since there's water right in front of us, right where God is telling us to go, I would have been on the side of keeping still. Keep so still that maybe Pharaoh and his army wouldn't notice that we're all standing right here. But God means go forward. God tells Moses to stretch out his hands over the waters, and when he did, God drove the sea by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. All they can see is dry land ahead, but just as rows of corn can make it impossible to see anything else, they had water that could come upon them at any time. They made it across, and God clogged the wheels of the Egyptian chariot so that they could not ride through the divided waters. And then God had Moses stretch out his hand once again, and the walls of water began to fall upon the army. The walls of water fell so quickly that the entire army was drowned. God has just done a mighty and powerful act. Very similar to the dividing of the water at creation for the sake of land. This is creating a new life. This is a life-giving act such as creation. At the beginning of Exodus, in chapter 1, we discover that Pharaoh was ruthless in his dealings with the Israelites, and we know that. They had many children, and they were growing in number, and Pharaoh got really worried about that. He was worried that they may outnumber his people. So one day he ordered that every male child born of an Israelite must be drowned in the Nile. Horrible story. As time goes on, life is hard. They cry out to God. God hears them, decides Moses the person. Moses does as he's told. He gets the people out. They complain when they realize the army's after them. Moses wants them to keep still. Moses had such faith that God would be with them. Then he asks the people to keep still as the army bears down upon them. And in keeping still, Moses is able to hear the voice of God say, "What in the world are you doing, Moses? Keep going forward. Don't go back. Don't go back towards slavery, injustice, and oppression. Don't go back to hatred and bigotry and the killing of our children. Don't go back. Go forward." In those moments of standing firm as people who God loves and keeping still long enough to hear God's voice in the midst of our fears, God is calling us to life. God is calling us to newness of life. God is creating something new that is not filled with death and injustice and oppression. So much so that the power that enforced the injustice and oppression is now dead. The Egyptian power is dead, swallowed up by the water, swallowed up in the same way that the powers that be killed the Israelite children. This is a pretty important story. It's a story of God hearing our cries, showing us the way, us keeping still to hear what it is we should do, and in the end, we too have to act and follow God's call. But it is even more than that. Our God is a God who hears the cries of the oppressed. It is the oppressed that God saved, not those with the power. It is those who were oppressed that are standing on dry land. It is those who had power and used that power to oppress that are now dead. We have a powerful God who continually creates new life for us and calls us to keep still that we may hear and go forward, that we may have life. But if we are the powerful who live in such a way that others are oppressed, our story isn't so great. There are so many times in our life when we are uncertain on which way to turn or which cornfield to drive through, and we feel vulnerable and uncertain, maybe even afraid. Those are times that we need to keep still so that we may try to discern what God is calling us to do. Even if we are uncertain when God tells us to go forward, if we are choosing the path that leads to the end of injustice and oppression and toward acts that are life-giving for ourselves and for all of God's creation, then as we worry whether the walls of water are really going to stay put as we cross on dry land, if we are choosing life, then go forward with joy. Now, just so you know, when we are upon that dry land looking back at the water that has destroyed the power of oppression, just know that it may be another 40 years before we get to wherever it is that God is leading us. Amen. As we come to this point in our worship service, we always issue an invitation to come and join with us. Come and join with our community of faith. It is a community of faith that does strive to fight against injustice and oppression. We do try to keep still when it's time to keep still, and we are constantly being called by God to go forward into this world and to make a difference. We invite you to come and be a part of this faith community as we stand and sing.